Welcome back to Skin the Surface. My name is Dr. Rena Lau, and I'm your host for this week's episode. On this week's episode, I'm going to be touching upon a specific type of hair loss that affects many women from around the world, and that is something called postpartum hair loss. Pregnancy is a wonderful thing, and there are many changes to our body during pregnancy and even postpartum. Postpartum hair loss is such a common skin concern of new mothers, and as one may expect, many postpartum hair loss may actually impact a new mother's self-confidence and even mental state, and may in fact contribute to postpartum depression. And you know, I find that common actually as a dermatologist. I'll see new mothers very frustrated because of the hair loss. So hormonal changes during pregnancy, we know, promote an increase in hair growth. That thick, luscious hair during pregnancy is definitely a benefit. However, during postpartum, our estrogen levels begin to fall, and this results in what we call postpartum hair loss. This may also be referred to as postpartum telogen effluvium. And this can be devastating for many and sometimes even prolonged. So in a normal healthy scalp, about 80% of our hair follicles are in the actively growing stage, anagen stage. As a result of hormonal changes and stress in our body, such as childbirth, the hair transitions rapidly from the growing stage to that shedding stage, resulting in this rapid shedding. Postpartum hair loss may initially start as a diffuse shedding and thinning of the hair, and this may actually last for months. But for a few females experiencing postpartum hair loss, they may actually experience a more pronounced thinning and widening of their part on the crown. They may even notice a receding hairline. This actually is a little bit of a different type of hair loss, and this is referred to as a female pattern hair loss or androgenetic alopecia. Alopecia is just a term that we use in dermatology to refer to hair loss. It doesn't specifically mean any specific type of hair loss. So though postpartum, you know, we hear about it from our neighbors, our friends, you know, a lot of patients of mine see it, there are really just a few small studies on this type of hair loss and its progression within the literature. So not all females experiencing postpartum hair loss may be at risk. There are some risk factors that have been described. Those with C-sections, recent major surgeries, history of thyroid abnormalities, or even personal or strong family history of hair loss are at an increased risk for postpartum hair loss. Majority of females experiencing postpartum hair loss have a mild hair loss. So I might say a little bit of diffuse shedding with no complete visibility of the scalp. However, few may experience more significant hair loss, and this is when a dermatologist really comes into play. Now, I want to just give you two to three small tips when it comes to preventing worsening of the hair loss if you do experience postpartum hair loss. Number one, try to avoid using a brush or comb that really pulls or tugs on the hair. You may be at more risk for losing more hair, so gentle hair care is essential. Try not to use, you know, thick emollients like Vaseline or anything occlusive on your scalp. Using just gentle oils on your scalp to lubricate your scalp is really key. Coconut oil is one of my favorites just to kind of lubricate the scalp if you do have a dry scalp. Number three, I frequently recommend avoiding your hair in a tight ponytail, especially when wet or at bedtime. Loose hairstyles are key. And really any individual experiencing hair loss. Number four, I recommend investing in a nice silk pillowcase to minimize that frictional component of hair loss and to help you lose a little bit less hair during the nighttime. Now, there are some over-the-counter recommendations for hair loss, and really this comes, you know, a lot of factors come into play when choosing certain over-the-counter or even, you know, talking to your dermatologist about alternative treatments. for postpartum hair loss. It really depends on how severe it is, if you are breastfeeding, if you have any other medical issues, and if there's another hair loss coming into play. So a lot of times there are a few factors that play into a role with hair loss. I always say hair loss might be multifactorial. So a few things that may come into play. And when that happens, you know, your dermatologist may want to check some blood work, may even talk to you about a scalp biopsy, meaning taking a little piece of your scalp. There may be other factors that may play a role with your hair loss. So it may not necessarily be all because you are postpartum. There are, you know, I'm just going to briefly touch upon some of the over-the-counter recommendations. I'm not going to, you know, specifically say purchase this company, purchase that company. I'm not here to endorse any specific companies. I'm just here to give you some, you know, some information of what is out there in the literature. When it comes to just a broad category of treatment, we talk about nutraceuticals a lot. So nutraceuticals is really an emerging category within skincare and beauty products. And nutraceuticals are basically a collection of active and inactive ingredients, primarily natural ingredients that may help promote hair growth in different ways. One company that you may have heard about is Nutrafol. Nutrafol has been investigated in several multi-centered center randomized double-blind placebo-controlled studies. So it's been, you know, under the microscope. And it has demonstrated clinical improvement and was associated with a high degree of patient satisfaction. Studies have also revealed a favorable safety profile when it comes to this medication, meaning that it has overall the safety has been shown to be favorable. So what is Nutrafol? So it's an oral hair supplement that's marketed to strengthen and promote hair growth. And it has some unique ingredients that help to kind of target the male hormones' impact on the hair follicle. And so in some cases, Nutrafol is actually used for male or female pattern thinning or hair loss or baldness. Again, I do not specifically work for this company. This is not an ad or endorse this company. I'm just providing you with some information that is out there that maybe of interest. Before investing in any of these products, I do again strongly recommend that you consult with your board certified dermatologist. Another, you know, thing that's been out there is topical minoxidil, also known as the brand name Rogaine. This has been, you know, out for quite some time. It's available in both 2% and 5% solutions and a 5% foam. It can be used for both male and female patients, and typically the 5% formulations have been found in the literature to be more effective. Some notes is that you may have a little bit of initial shedding, but don't let that stop you because consistent use of this product for months has been shown in the literature, again, to have favorable results for both sexes. One word of caution I just always recommend is making sure you carefully apply it on the scalp, on the areas where you have hair loss, and not applying it on the face, for example, because it works so well that you do not want to, you want to avoid any unwanted hair growth, specifically on the face. In the studies about topical minoxidil, it has been shown to improve the texture of the hair. When you know you're using any of these products, doing some of the recommendations that I had mentioned before, as well as preventing thermal damage to the hair, those are a few things that will also kind of help. So you have to do your part, but talking to your board certified dermatologist about it. About these products is helpful. In general, when it comes to hair growth oils, I get this question a lot. What should I invest in? Should I spend you know, X amount of money on certain products, and what should I look out for? So in general, hair growth oils may, you know, some oils out there may actually help rejuvenate the hair and improve the appearance of thin, brittle hair. So it lubricates, the idea is the oil is lubricating and nourishing the hair shaft to prevent further hair growth. Not necessarily that the oil itself promotes new growth, it's just kind of helping prevent further brittle hair. So it, again, studies have shown specifically with coconut oil that it locks in that moisture by lubricating and nourishing the hair shaft, but it has not been shown to directly stimulate hair growth. So it's important to have realistic expectations when it comes to hair growth oils. And I just want to actually circle back to what I was mentioning with the other nutraceuticals and that class of nutraceuticals and the topical minoxidil. You know, when it comes to hair growth, I always say it's not overnight. Sometimes hair growth can be frustrating. It can be, you know, watching paint dry. It can take some time. So patience is key. You're in the long haul for it. You know, be patient. Try not to stress about the hair loss, because we know stress may play a role with further hair loss. So kind of just trying to trust the process, talking to your dermatologist and managing any external stressors. Those are really, you know, key things, because some of these things that I mentioned can take, you know, 6 to 9 months, even years to really see the fruit of your work. So when it comes to, you know, hair oils and hair serums, you know, here are, again, some of my, I'm just going to kind of mention general ingredients. I am, again, trying to stray away from specific products, but if you are interested in certain recommendations, feel free to send us a message on Skin the Surface Pod, and we can provide some general recommendations. But, you know, my go-to when it comes to ingredients is coconut oil. Again, hydrating the hair shaft. You know, overall, coconut oil tends to be light, not too greasy and heavy, and providing that hair with that shine that we all like. Another, you know, thing, a recommendation, when it comes to hair oil, specifically not just coconut oil, but all hair oils, is when you pick out a product, make sure it's alcohol and cruelty free, sulfate free, because, you know, again, this protects the hair from, you know, in the scalp specifically, from potential allergic reactions, because so many times I have patients that come to me and use their certain oils, and not naming specific companies, just but say company X, they put it on their scalp and all of a sudden they have an allergic contact dermatitis, meaning they have an allergic skin reaction, they get red, scaling, pain on their scalp, and now they're losing more hair and they took a step back or two steps back. So it can be frustrating. So when you use your hair oils or hair serums, really focus on the ends. Really make sure, look at the ingredients. If you're questioning the ingredients, again, reach out to your dermatologist and say, hey, is this safe for me to use? What are your thoughts on it? Sometimes when I'm questioning a product and whether it's, you know, could I have a potential allergy to this skin product, I usually place the product on my back of my neck, my forearm, and then revisit that. You know, try to look at that spot in, you know, a few hours, then the next day, 24 hours, 48 hours, kind of keep an eye on that spot and make sure, hey, am I having a reaction to that spot where I tested that product? You know, when it comes to other ingredients, I really want to touch upon resveratrol. So resveratrol is, you know, becoming increasingly popular as a retinol alternative, you know, for skincare and in the cosmeceutical industry. It's really interesting. It's actually derived from grapes and olives. And it acts as a powerful antioxidant and helps protect the skin and hair from those external stressors. So I talked a little bit about thermal damage, right? So, you know, blow drying, straightening, curling irons, those are all, you know, place some stress on our hair, hair itself. Sun, UV radiation may actually cause some stress on the hair, might dry out our hair. And so resveratrol is something that, you know, I would, take a close look at. I would, when it comes to ingredients, again, making sure that you're not developing an allergy from it. But it is a new and emerging, increasingly popular ingredient that we're going to see, I believe, more and more. Well, I know you guys probably learned a lot about postpartum hair loss. A word of wisdom is, do not give up on your hair. Do not let it frustrate you. Talking to your dermatologist, talking about ways that you can, promote hair growth, outside in, inside out, all of the ways that we talked about there can be very helpful. As always, stay safe and healthy, podcasters. Feel free to check us out on Instagram, Twitter at Skin the Surface Pod.